This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Coming up on the show, we're going to talk about the whole Bubba Wallace NASCAR. There was not a noose found in his garage, the only black NASCAR driver. You know, I had that story in front of me the last 2 days, and we didn't say anything about it on this show. We talked about other things. That thing was suspicious. That story was suspicious from the minute it came out, because nobody ever saw a picture of the quote-unquote noose.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There was no picture of it. And in recent modern American history, any quote-unquote news story that has made national headlines has turned out to be a fraudulent story. And if there was a noose, it was put there by the people on the same side as the quote-unquote victims to try to stir up controversy. So we're gonna talk about that coming up. And I'm telling you, some people at ESPN need to be canned. I mean, how does ESPN run with that story like they did? I mean, Sunday night, at around 11 o'clock, I was woken up because I have on my cell phone, which was charging next to my pillow, next to my bed, it goes off. It makes noises when there are breaking news stories. I was woken up by ESPN late Sunday night to tell me that there was a noose found in the garage of the only black NASCAR driver. And now we know it wasn't a noose. And even after all of this, Bubba Wallace, the driver, was on CNN last night saying, I believe it was a noose, even though they're telling me it wasn't a noose, even though he never saw it. He's telling people he still believes it was a noose. We're going to get to more of this story coming up in a little bit. But I just wanted to mention this. This is where we're at right now in America in 2020. A college professor has just been put on leave out in California because he asked an Asian student to anglicize her name. Why did the college professor ask her to anglicize her name? And she was unhappy that he did that because her first name is spelled P-H-U-C and her last name is Wynn. How would you say that name? I don't think we could say that here on the radio, Coleman.
No, you can't. It's Fook.
Fook?
Fook, yes. It's pronounced Fook.
Well, she was so upset that the college professor out in California, and by the way, the college is Laney College in San Francisco, not a football juggernaut. That's the college. The professor is Matthew Hubbard. And he's been put on leave because this student named
Fook.
Are you sure?
Yes.
And she actually has three more names after Fook. It's Fook, P-H-U-C, then B-U-I, then D-I-E-M. Then Wynn, N-G-U-Y-E-N. She was upset when she got the emails. She then took the screenshot of the email and then sent it to the higher-ups there at that college. And she said she was upset that this principal, or that this professor, one of our professors, asked her to anglicize her name. You quote, "Your request for me to anglicize my name feels discriminatory, and I will move forward with filing a complaint with the Title IX office if you cannot refer to me by my given birth name," Fook said. That's P-H-U-C.
Right. I think she has a point. I think, you know.
Well, like, what if the teacher, the professor, you could look at that name, P-H-U-C, mm-hmm. and you could call it something else.
Yeah, you can. You can. But let's say even if that was her name, if that's what the parents named, then what's wrong with just calling her by what the parents named her, even though it might sound funny to you? You get what I mean? Like, even if it sounds offensive to us in our culture, even if it is pronounced that way, it's still her name. You're not going to not call somebody by their name just because their name sounds like a word that isn't their name. It's spelled, you know, P-H-U-C, but that's not necessarily the word that we use.
After she was upset about him asking her to do that, he then fired back saying, quote, "You need to understand your name is an offensive sound in my language. If I lived in Vietnam and my name in your language sounded like vulgarity, I would change it to avoid embarrassment both on my part and on the part of the people who say it." Well, the school and the school president wouldn't be happy about that, and they put that professor on leave.
I had to go with her on this one. I would. Because, all right, he could have just gave a nickname just in class instead of actually typing out an email and sending it in the form. That's where he messed up at. He could have just said, you know what, I'm going to call you pretty or something like that, and Fook, just to avoid it.
Fook, Coleman, this is a, boy, things in our country right now here as we sit here in late June 2020, they're fooked. Anyways, coming up on the show, we've got more on this Bubba Wallace, the black NASCAR driver. It wasn't a noose, even though the FBI, 15 FBI men, that's what it took to tell us that it was actually a rope hanging from a door that people used to pull the garage door down. There are so many things wrong with this story. Yet Bubba Wallace, even after the FBI said no hate crime, he was on CNN last night saying, it was a noose, damn it, straight up, it was a noose. No, it wasn't, Bubba. And Jimmy Kimmel finally apologized. Well, if you call it an apology, that's coming up too. Boy, oh boy. Go figure. The Southerners in Alabama, the NASCAR Southerners, weren't racist, yet Jimmy Kimmel, the elitist media member, was racist. Go figure. Huh? Isn't that something? Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. There's Billy Idol with Rebel Yell. If he ever, if we ever get back to live concerts again, he's probably going to take a lot of hell for playing that song. What do you mean, Rebel Yell? World we're living in right now. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And coming up a little bit later in the show, we're going to talk more about the quote-unquote noose that wasn't in the garage of the only black NASCAR race driver, Bubba Wallace. You know, the last 2 days, I had that story sitting in front of me here, and it looked fishy from day one, and we didn't mention it on this show over the last 2 days, and then there was an FBI investigation, and it wasn't a noose, although Bubba Wallace was on the news last night, CNN, telling people it was a noose, but it was actually a rope hanging from the side of a garage door that they used to pull down the big garage doors. We never saw a picture of anything the first day or so. And how did the media get so duped? ESPN, they're the ones who ran with this story. Again, much like the Jussie Smollett story in Chicago, which from day one smelled fishy. And we talked about that a lot on the show when that happened. But we'll get into that a little bit more, a lot more later. On the show, because I mean this is ridiculous where we're at right now in this country. And on the same day yesterday that 15 FBI agents, 15, went to the garage in Talladega, the Speedway, to say, wait a minute, no, the noose was hanging in that garage, even though it wasn't a noose. They're still calling it a noose. Well, the noose was there since 2019, so it wasn't for you, Bubba. On the same day that news broke, Jimmy Kimmel, late night talk show host, gave a belated apology. He wrote a belated apology because he's been under all kinds of fire for wearing blackface on skits he did in the past when he was on that show called The Man Show. And for a few days, there were not only videos of him dressed in blackface like Karl Malone, the former basketball player of the Utah Jazz. He was also dressed in blackface as a black woman. And he was doing Oprah Winfrey. He was doing he was calling it Oprah Jimfrey. His name is Jimmy Kimmel. And then another story just broke about Jimmy Kimmel, about how Megan Fox, the very attractive actress, was on his show saying how she was sexually exploited at the age of 15. And he basically kind of laughed about it, played it down, basically saying, well, ha, it's hard to see how you weren't because you were so, I mean, talking about a 15-year-old child. So there are all kinds of things coming out about Jimmy Kimmel and his past. And when all of these things started surfacing a few days ago, he went to his bosses and said, I need to take the summer off. I need to take 2 months off, which he is doing now. But he apologized yesterday, and it was kind of a half-hearted apology. Listen to this apology from Jimmy Kimmel. Quote, I have been reluctant to address this as I knew doing so would be celebrated as a victory by those who equate apologies with weakness and cheer for leaders who use prejudice to divide us. Does that sound like an apology to you?
No, not at all.
He said that delay was a mistake, Coleman. There is nothing more important to me than your respect, and I apologize to those who were genuinely hurt or offended by the makeup I wore or the words I spoke, Jimmy Kimmel told Fox News in a statement yesterday. And it wasn't only the blackface. Going back to 1996 in a Christmas song parody, he used the N-word several times, including referring to Santa Claus as the fat N-word in a sleigh giving bleep away on Christmas.
Yeah, that's when he was imitating Snoop Dogg, doing a Snoop Dogg parody.
Yeah, so Jimmy Kimmel has several times where he did this. Now, when Jimmy Fallon, his late night rival on NBC, The Tonight Show, when he apologized, about a month or so ago, we talked about it on the show, he flat out said, I was wrong. He did blackface, and I think he was imitating Chris Rock,
right,
who was on SNL with him. And he said, I was wrong. Thank you for calling me out on it. It was horrible what I did. I was wrong. It wasn't funny. I'm paraphrasing now. But that's all Jimmy Fallon said. Jimmy Kimmel said what I already just told you he said, and then he continued, quote, we hired makeup artists to make me look as much like Karl Malone as possible. I never considered that this might be seen as anything other than an imitation as a fellow human being, which you have said before, Coleman.
Yeah, I said that yesterday. He was getting into character.
One that had no more to do with Carl's skin color than it did his bulging muscles and bald head. I've done dozens of impressions of famous people, including Snoop Dogg, Oprah, Eminem, Dick Vitale, Rosie, and many others. In each case, I thought of them as impressions of celebrities and nothing more. And we have said that in the past. But now where we're sitting at 2020, a white guy cannot do that. It cannot impersonate a black guy. And then Jimmy Kimmel continued with his apology. Looking back, many of these sketches are embarrassing, and it is frustrating that these thoughtless moments have become a weapon used by some to diminish my criticisms of social and other injustices. That's his problem now. He has become so politically correct, and he has become what is known as a social justice warrior, an SJW, that he's now looking back at what he did, and he's looking at other people that are making fun of him for doing it, saying, I'm really not like that anymore. I mean, he's so politically correct now that, I mean, half the stuff he did on The Man Show would be considered politically incorrect.
Well, two things. First of all, let me just say this. I don't think he had to apologize in the first place. He was just doing impressions. I don't see Jimmy Kimmel as a racist. I don't see him as a sexist. I saw him as a comedian trying to do impressions and trying to be funny. I get that part. Second, the thing about that apology is he wasn't so concerned about people's feelings, if they were really hurt or offended. He was more concerned about his opposition using his apology to get back at. He seemed to be more defensive. Like, I didn't want to apologize because even if I did hurt your feelings, I didn't want them to take pleasure in it. Basically, he was saying, I didn't want to apologize because I knew my opposition or the people I disagree with would take pleasure in it, and he did not want to give them the pleasure. He was more concerned about that than the actual people's feelings that he says he hurt.
And he said, anyone who watches me now knows that I have evolved since he was doing The Man Show.
I'll give him that. He doesn't do the bits like that anymore. But even back then, it was, I don't know. Maybe I just look at the world differently. I wasn't offended then. I'm not offended now.
Well, that's the problem with you and me, Coleman. I mean, I'm a white guy. You're a black guy. But we have a few things in common. The one thing we have in common is pretty much nothing offends us.
Right.
And I've said that on the history of this show. So, I mean, if you're asking me to be offended by something, it's like, look, I've done radio most of my life. And times have changed. There's no doubt about it. Well, there's Jimmy Kimmel's quote-unquote apology.
Think he'll ever work again?
I don't know if they're going to bring him back. And now with this latest sexual thing with Megan Fox and the interview we did with her, I don't, and that was only a few years ago on his current show. We'll see. I mean, if you want to text us, should Jimmy Kimmel come back from this? And can we find a late night talk show host who hasn't worn blackface in the past?
Arsenio Hall never wore blackface.
There's one.
Yeah.
Our number is 504-260-9595. Should Jimmy Kimmel still have his $15 million a year job? And he's worth probably about $60 million now. And that's why he's so politically correct at this point. For $15 million a year, who wouldn't?
Right.
Text us, 504-260-9595. Has Jimmy Kimmel done his last late-night talk show, or will he be let back by his network, ABC, even in the wake of all of this? Keep your text short and sweet. Put your first name or your initials at the end of it. Please don't text while you're driving. And if they're good and they add to the show, we will read them here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only, classic rock station. Did you see where porn star Ron Jeremy has been arrested and charged with raping three women and sexually assaulting another? Hopefully, these isolated cases won't reflect poorly on an otherwise honorable industry. You would think Ron Jeremy at work would have plenty. He wouldn't have to. Boy, oh boy. And he's looking at spending the rest of his life in prison.
Hmm.
Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. Coming up at 7:05, we're going to talk about the fake noose. Well, I guess it was fake news too, but it was fake news and fake noose. And in the garage, the NASCAR garage of the only black NASCAR driver, Bubba Wallace. It took 15 FBI agents to tell us it wasn't a noose. It was the rope that they used to pull the big garage door down with. And that's coming up at 7:05. Again, how ESPN reported that and ran with that, people should be canned over there. But we'll talk about that at 7:05. Oregon County issues face mask order that exempts non-white people. Did you see this story? Now, look, there's been a lot of talk about the coronavirus, and there's no doubt about it. It's a virus. I mean, it's a virus that 99% of people who get it recover from. And we know the people who are at risk with coronavirus are old people, are people that are already sick, and obese people. But there's no doubt about it. It's made our lives hell, and it's financially devastated many people, many businesses in this country. I mean, it sucks. We're stuck in phase two of the reopening of this country for another month here in Louisiana. We can't move on to phase three of the reopening yet. But there's no doubt about it. A part of coronavirus is political. There's no doubt about it. A part of it is political. And this proves it. A county in Oregon just issued a face mask order that exempts non-white people. Lincoln County, Oregon has exempted non-white people from a new order requiring that face coverings be worn in public. Why, you ask? To prevent racial profiling.
Wait, what?
Health officials announced residents must wear face coverings in public settings where they may come within 6 feet of another individual who is not from the same household. But people of color do not have to follow the new rule if they have, quote, heightened concerns about racial profiling and harassment. The health officials in Oregon say No person shall intimidate or harass people who do not comply. So they're saying if black people are walking around with face masks on, other people might racially profile them and disturb them. That's why they're saying only white people have to wear the face masks and not black people.
John, Oregon's actually racist. Here's why. If the face mask is supposed to help you save lives, but the only people required to wear them are white, they just want to save white lives and let the people of color die of coronavirus.
Aha!
See, that's what they're doing. They don't like people of color. So they're like, hey, you don't have to wear the mask if you don't want to. Go ahead and catch the coronavirus. But white people, wear your mask. Wear your mask. That's what they're saying.
Coleman, mask requirements are becoming more common in America, not on the West Bank. But activists have raised concerns that the directives could put non-white people in danger. Here's what Renika Moore said. She's the director of the ACLU's racial justice program. Quote, for many black people, deciding whether or not to wear a bandana in public to protect themselves and others from contracting coronavirus is a lose-lose situation that can result in life-threatening consequences either way. Because they get racially profiled. Because
this is the first time in history that a black person actually wants all the white people around them to wear masks.
So, again, there's no doubt about it. Coronavirus sucks, and it is a medical issue. But there is a part of it that is political. There's no doubt about it.
This is crazy.
I mean, the congresswoman from AOC, she wants to keep, she tweeted, she's deleted it, but it got screen saved. AOC, you know, she's the Democratic Socialist. She tweeted that she wants businesses to stay closed until at least the election coming up in November because she wants the economy to be bad to ensure Donald Trump will lose. Mm-hmm. Isn't that incredible? A sitting United States congresswoman wants Americans to suffer because she doesn't like the president.
That's where we are.
I mean, it's incredible. So there's no doubt. And you think she's the only one?
No, Bill Maher was on record for saying that. He said if the economy has to tank to get this president out of office, he's all for it.
There's no doubt about it. Part of coronavirus is political. All right, coming up, we're gonna get to this fake news story. In Talladega here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. You know, childhood obesity these days is an issue. If you have kids, you know, they don't get out as much as and run around like we did when we were kids because of all the video games and the computers and everything that they sit in front of. And according to a new study, kids who have televisions in their bedrooms are more likely to be obese than kids who don't. But they are less likely to be obese than kids who have refrigerators in their bedrooms. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Well, that song's so old, you would think they're at least three-quarters of the way there now, huh? Bon Jovi here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And yesterday, after a two-day investigation with 15 FBI agents it was determined that there was no noose left in the garage of the only black NASCAR driver, Bubba Wallace. Now, I had this story in front of me for the last 2 days, on Monday and Tuesday, but I didn't mention it.
We've actually talked about why we can't mention it. We had our suspicions.
In between when we were talking on the air, Coleman and I, we were talking, should we bring up this NASCAR news story? Because it looks fishy to me, but I don't want to be called a racist. I don't want to be called names. Let's just let the FBI's looking into it now. Let's see what they have to say. And they said that it was rope that was on the side of the garage door that they use to pull down the very big and heavy garage door. And what's incredible about, there are several things incredible about this story. On Sunday night, this is when the news broke, and it broke around 11 p.m. our time here in New Orleans. And I knew that because I was asleep. I got to get up early to do the show here in the morning. But my cell phone always charges on my nightstand right next to my head. And when there's breaking news, when a big story breaks, a sound comes out. And this was a big breaking story from ESPN. And so my eyes opened up and I grabbed my cell phone. I looked at it and ESPN is reporting that there was a noose found in the only black race car driver's garage at the NASCAR track in Talladega, Alabama. And I said, oh, no. But I was half asleep. I said, I got to go to sleep. Then as soon as we came into work on Monday morning, I started looking at this. I said, where's the picture of it? There's no picture of it? Why isn't there a picture of it? And then I started thinking to myself, hardly any fans because of coronavirus can go to these things. I think they only had 5,000 or 7,000 fans in the stands, social distancing. In each of these NASCAR drivers' garages, there is so much money at stake. Besides their cars and all the parts and all the tools and all. How difficult would it be for someone to get into somebody else's garage to leave a noose? So then I start thinking to myself, it's got to be an inside job. Someone from within NASCAR, because you just can't, hardly anybody's going to be able to walk in, I mean, to these garages. Plus, in the year 2020, there are video cameras everywhere. So we should get to the bottom of this very soon. And they called in the FBI. And after a day and a half or 2 days of investigating, the FBI said, no, it wasn't a hate crime. And then the FBI said, you know, that noose has been hanging in there since 2019. And then when that news broke yesterday, yeah, fake news, fake noose. When that news broke yesterday, and it, on the CBS Evening News, the woman, Nora O'Donnell, said, well, that noose has been in there since 2019. And then all the other news people kept saying, that noose has been in there since 2019. And there are nooses in every garage. It's a piece of rope with a little handle at the bottom of it. You couldn't even get that thing around a dwarf or a midget. You know, there's a difference between midgets and dwarfs. One has the same size torso as you and me and just short arms and legs. The other, every part of their body is short. There's a difference between those two. But anyways, so the last couple of days, Coleman and I, although we talked about it here in the studio, you know, I said, something is fishy here. Something doesn't make sense. How did ESPN get duped on that? Much like the Jussie Smollett story, which we did talk about from day one on this show when that happened in Chicago. I said, wait a minute. Racists are walking around in the middle of a freezing, freezing cold night in Chicago with a rope just looking for a black guy who's also gay. So I remember So that's the first thing that I didn't want to be. I didn't want to be. Hey, what do you mean? You know. So not only was this fake news, and ESPN fell for it and reported it, and then all the other news stations globbed onto it. And why did they do that? Like, how not one person at ESPN, not one person said, wait, is there a picture? There was not one picture of a noose. Do we have any? No, well, hey, if the black guy in racist Alabama, you know, the South at the Talladega Speedway, you know, plus he's the one that just was demanding that the Confederate flag be taken out of all the fans' hands in NASCAR as well as every NASCAR track. It must be true. And they ran with it. I'm telling you, people, here's why they ran with it. Because the majority of the media,
mm-hmm.
they're of one political persuasion. And it's that political persuasion that keeps telling us on a daily, weekly, monthly basis how racist we are and how racist this country is. There's one political party, one political persuasion that tells us that. And so this fits their narrative, Coleman.
Right.
And so they end up running with this story, like the Jussie Smollett story, mm-hmm. and there was nothing there. I'm telling you, people should be canned at ESPN for doing this.
See, here's where we're different. You think they were being duped. I'm quite sure somebody at these major news networks knew it, but they wanted to get the narrative out there knowing that they can print a redaction later that nobody would pay attention to. Because we've seen that in the media, too, where they knew something was a false narrative, but they put that false narrative out there. And then whenever the redaction comes or whenever the evidence comes out, they'll put like an edit at the bottom of the article. But as long as they get out there first, they can always go back and say, oh, well, we didn't have all the facts. But the mission is accomplished. The narrative's out there. Most people are going to go with the narrative. And now that the facts are out, it doesn't matter. Nobody's going to get canned. Yeah, this is a media tactic.
Yeah, when one political party in America, one of their main platforms is telling us how racist we are on a daily basis, on a weekly, monthly basis, how there's systemic racism, how there's systematic racism. And they keep telling us that. And you know, if everybody got along and there weren't, if there were hardly any racial issues, that's one big platform that's gone for them that they've been running on that they can't run on. And look, is there some racism in this country? Of course there is. Are there some racists in this country? Of course there is. But damn it, it is not as bad as what we are being told on a daily and weekly basis. Look, are there some racists around us? Yes. There are also some killers around us. There are also some sexual predators and rapists around us. But it's not the majority.
But the media has to sensationalize it, just like the COVID-19 numbers. That's their job. The job is to fuel fire, sensationalize, put it out there, cause panic, cause fear, as long as they get their eyes on a product and push a narrative, that's their mission.
And then last night, after this news broke, CNN and Louisiana native Don Lemon, who tells people every night how racist this country is and how awful, you know, so many people in this country are, Don Lemon has Bubba Wallace, the race car driver, on. And Bubba Wallace, he's not buying what the FBI is selling.
Don, the image that I have and I have seen of what was hanging in my garage is not a garage pool. I've been racing all my life. We've raced out of hundreds of garages that never had garage pools like that. So people that want to call it a garage pool and put out old videos and photos of knots being in their as their evidence, go ahead. But from the evidence that we have, that I have, it's a straight up noose.
What are you saying here?
It was a noose. It was a noose that was whether tied in 2019 or whatever. It was a noose. So it wasn't directed at me, but somebody tied a noose. That's what I am saying.
Mm-hmm.
It is a noose.
So Bubba Wallace is still convinced it's a noose, even though he never saw it. He never saw it. He saw a picture of it. He never saw the actual thing. And the media's still running around. Whoa, that noose has been hanging in there since 2019. That's Alabama. And I've seen the pictures of it now. It's you put your hand in it. Does it look like a mini, like a little mini version? What could be a noose? But to handle that, you put your hand in a little hole at the bottom of a rope to pull a giant, heavy garage door down. Boy, oh boy, this is where we are in America 2020. This is where we are. And I'll say it one more time. You know, again, are there some racists out there? Yeah, there's some, and just like most cops are good. What the cop did in Minneapolis, he should go to jail for the rest of his life. That was murder. He killed George Floyd. That's all. But that happens so few and far between, and statistics will tell you that if you look them up. Again, when you have 350 million to 500 million police encounters with Americans every year, and it's such a small amount of number of unarmed people who are killed by the police. I wish that every police person was perfect, policeman and policewoman, but it's just not like that. It's impossible. Everybody can't be perfect. And we put the criminals in jail where they should be, and if the racist bleep holes, if they're dwindling, that's good, and then they should dwindle. I wish we were all perfect. But when you have a country of 350 million people, there's going to be a few idiots, a few screwballs in there. So that's the whole, the bubble. And then I don't know how he goes on last night on CNN to still say, well, no, man, boy. This is America in 2020.
All right, breathe, John.
Well, and we got rocking to do, and we got other things we're going to get to as well. Hang out with us. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. In his upcoming memoir, Willie Nelson reveals how marijuana has affected his life. For example, he started writing the book in 1946. On Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.
Smoke weed every day.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And I used to drink a lot of beer. I don't drink nearly as much as I used to. There's no way I could and still do this morning show. Because when I was on, whether it was in the afternoon earlier in my career or during even the midday, or the afternoon or the early evening, whenever, I could always pound beers at night, and then you can sleep in the morning and then get up and go to work. But when you got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, those days you just can't do it anymore. Now Coleman, you, even though you're working on this morning show, you still enjoy your beer.
Yes, I have.
And the reason I said that is because the story I'm about to tell you. Man's bladder explodes after holding in pee for 18 hours after beer binge. You're in trouble. This is why even... And Coleman, you should know this now, and I knew this. It's even better to wet the bed. I mean, obviously, when you're drinking a lot of beers, you should relieve yourself before you go to bed. Duh. But sometimes people just pass out.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy, and this did happen in China. A Chinese man's bladder burst when he unknowingly held his pee in for 18 hours after binging on booze. He's a 40-year-old guy, only identified as Mr. Who. He passed out after downing 10 bottles of beer during a heavy drinking session without heeding nature's call once. So, I mean, if you're going to drink, for me, I could easily drink a 12-pack and still be all right. Because I just, from when I was younger, and I'm part Irish, that's my grandfather in me. My grandfather on my mother's side, Coleman, he could drink a case of beer, and he could be like, hey, what do you want to do now? And he'd get up and stand up. I get that from him.
So now it makes me wonder, did he knowingly ignore it? Like he just was too lazy to get up and go, or did he not, or was he so drunk he couldn't feel that he had to go and his body naturally locked up?
I think that was it. He drank a lot of beer, Mr. Who, in China. He passed out. And then he didn't urinate for 18 hours, and his bladder exploded.
Ow!
Extremely painful, but lucky he was able to get into a Chinese hospital, hopefully not catch the coronavirus, and they took care of his emergency surgery. Bladder explosions are rare. It just blew up. Yeah, that's why. Wet the bed if you have to. It'll save your bladder from exploding.
Yeah, it took years of training, but now I know when I see urinals in my dreams, don't use them. Wake up.
Yeah, and when you drink alcohol, as we know, it causes the body to produce more urine than usual, so that can potentially contribute to the bladder being full. According to Dr. Bradley Gill, he's a doctor in Cleveland, Ohio, who heard about this Mr. Wu character in China, and he had a comment about it.
Other than the bladder exploding, I wonder how his night was.
Other than that, I heard he had a hell of a fun night. Hey, baseball is coming back. We'll have all the details. There's going to be a 60-game baseball season, but there are some rules changes. Wait till you hear these. That's coming up next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Today, way back in 1664, New Jersey was founded. And now, 356 years later, nobody knows why. On Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. The boys of summer there. And it's just been announced, the boys of summer baseball, they're gonna try and play a 60-game season.
Yay!
Yeah.
Yes!
Woo! It's going to start 1 month from now, either July 23rd or July 24th. That's going to be opening day. Spring training starts July 1st. So that wouldn't be spring training. That would be that'd be the dog days of summer training. So they're going to train for 3 weeks from July 1st until July 23rd, and then they're going to start, and they're going to try and play a 60-game regular season starting July 23rd or July 24th. Listen to this. A couple of things are going to be different. There's going to be a universal designated hitter. As it has been, the DH, the designated hitter, has only been used in the American League. In the National League, the pitchers hit. Well, they try to hit. They're not good hitters. But in this season, they're going to have the designated hitter in both leagues. And I know there's some purists, baseball purists, National League purists, who don't like that. And check this out. If a game is tied after 9 innings, what usually happens is they play extra innings until someone wins.
I remember.
Well, Coleman, they're still going to play extra innings, but they're going to start the 10th inning with a runner on second base. I guess they want to try to finish the games faster because they're only playing a 60-game regular season, and then they're gonna go into the playoffs after that. The trade deadline will be August 31st. So think about it. If they start July 23rd or July 24th and they play 60 games, that's to the end of September. That's normal. Because baseball always plays the regular season through the end of September, and then their playoffs come in October. So they're gonna keep it the same way, at least time frame wise, with when their playoffs start.
That's pretty cool. I guess the players finally came up with how much money they're supposed to be getting paid to play, right?
Well, this was all supposed to start the 4th of July. They should have already been in spring or summer training now, because they wanted to start the 4th of July, but the players, they couldn't come to an agreement, the players' union with the owners, they couldn't come to an agreement on how much money they're making. I think
$1 million.
And you had some of the players saying that I don't want to play for less than my $12 million a year salary, and they were completely tone-deaf statements. When you're looking at what the rest of the United States of America is going through right now with the coronavirus, how many people have been financially decimated, devastated by coronavirus, not able to work. The unemployment numbers are huge. The lines, the bread lines are huge, like food banks. And so you had a bunch of baseball players saying, and they're holding out, saying, well, wait a minute, what do you mean we're not getting our full salary? So I think how they're doing it, Coleman, is they're going to get paid on a prorated 60-game schedule.
Gotcha.
So they so that they're going to be 102 games short of what they usually play because a regular baseball season is 162 games.
Now, are they going to play in a bubble like the NBA or?
I don't think so.
Huh.
I don't know. That's all I know right now. These details are just coming out now. I don't think there's going to be a bubble. I think they're just going to play in empty stadiums.
Okay. All right. Because I know the NFL is probably paying attention to see what's going to how they're going to be able to have opening day in a month.
Well, look, the NFL, Coleman, you just brought up a whole nother issue. And I say a prayer every night. I get on my knees and I pray for the health and safety of everybody here in the United States and all over the world. I pray for peace and love and health for everyone. But then right before I go to bed, the last thing I pray for is, God, please, there has to be a football season this year. And as of right now, football wants to stay on the regular schedule that they're on. We don't know if there's going to be fans in the stands yet, but I don't know how they're going to be able to do that. And they're saying they don't want to go into a bubble. They could have maybe three or four bubbles like the NBA is doing. Because now baseball and basketball, Major League Baseball and the NBA, they're going to start right around the same time. But the NBA, they've got all their teams in Orlando, Florida. They're all staying in a handful of hotels. They're playing in just I think a couple of stadiums and they're all going to be tested regularly. The NFL might have to do that because this coronavirus, it's going to be out there in the fall.
Well, if it doesn't,
there's no
work
doubt
out.
About it. It's going to be out there in the fall, and the flu is coming in the fall, and people are going to get confused between the flu and the coronavirus.
That's true too. Yeah.
But Coleman, with football, with the NFL, the networks, they're the ones who want it the most, because if they don't televise NFL games, they lose the most money that they make.
You mean to tell me that the cornhole tournaments that I've been watching haven't been a good replacement for NFL?
Not financially.
Huh. I could have swore they was up on the same level.
No, I mean the networks, CBS, Fox, NBC, they and ESPN, they desperately, they will do anything to get the games aired, whether they're in empty stadiums, in bubble stadiums, whatever the case may be. They need to get the games aired, or there goes their finances. Maybe it wouldn't be a bad thing to see a couple of these networks go belly up financially. So, I mean, obviously football's paying attention. And if you're talking football, I still don't know how they're going to play college football. If many of these campuses aren't even going to be reopened in September, if some of them might be, some of them might not be. And in college football, you would assume they're going to have to play in empty stadiums as well. But still, football in empty stadiums or bubble stadiums is better than no football at all.
Right.
So we'll see. But hey, there is going to be a 60-game 2020 Major League Baseball season starting either July 23rd or July 24th, right around the same time the NBA is starting. So
yeah, I hear that the Houston Astros are right now throwing balls at themselves to get themselves prepared for the regular season. They're sitting there, you know, all right, hit me right here.
Yeah.
Pop.
Yeah, the cheaters there here on Bayou 95.7. Hey, coming up on the show, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning, and this is a doozy. I mean a doozy. You're not going to want to miss this one here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. So I've got a bunch of Facebook friends, and they say some crazy things sometime. And we have a segment on the show where I'll take something that they said, and I'll use my thespian skills to do a dramatic reading of one of my Facebook friends' posts.
And now, a dramatic reading of a post from one of John Osterlin's Facebook friends.
Well, here's how to end a bleeping Monday. I went to McDonald's to get something comforting and left without grabbing my food. I'm a genius.
This has been a dramatic reading of a post from one of John Osterlin's Facebook friends.
Thank you. It's a friend of mine, Greg. He actually went to get something to eat at McDonald's and left without his food. I got to call him up after the show and I got to ask him, how in God's name could anything like that happen? That's not the dumbest thing I read all morning. That's pretty, it's close. But that's coming up next. And it's a doozy here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And it's about that time where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. No, it is not the fact that ESPN reported the story about the noose in the black NASCAR driver's garage at Talladega Speedway in Alabama. There was no picture of a noose. Nobody saw a noose. Yet ESPN reported it. All the other media, much of the other media picked up on it and ran with it. And then it turned out to be not a noose. It was just the rope that the garage door down with. That's, we talked about that earlier in the show. That should be the dumbest thing I read all day. But this right here is, since states are partially reopened, public and business bathrooms aren't reliably open or safe from viruses, and people are peeing their pants in public.
Ew!
This is happening in cities all over America. You know, in New York City, Coleman, they are now letting bars do what they do here in New Orleans. They're letting them serve people drinks in to-go cups.
Hmm.
They never did that before coronavirus. You couldn't walk down the street in New York City drinking booze. But now they're letting you do that.
That's cool.
But the problem is not everything's open. They can't find bathrooms when they're drinking their beers and their drinks walking down the street. And then if they can find a bathroom, they're not sure if who was in there before, if they have coronavirus or not. So people are literally choosing to pee their pants. I'm just gonna pee my pants and I'll deal with it when I get home.
Oh man, that's disgusting. You would think they would actually use the to-go cup that they give you as a little like ported.
But you would have to go somewhere and do it. Maybe find a bush,
a dumpster, yeah,
or find a dumpster to go behind or whatever the case may be. But in crowded areas, people would rather just walk down the street and pee their pants than try to find an alley. And then
you'd rather have that happen than have your bladder explode, right?
As we told that story earlier in the show.
Mm. So it's just a normal day in San Francisco.
Yeah, so think about it, though. I mean, if you pee your pants, would you stop or would you just keep walking while you're doing it?
I would walk home. Oh, you're talking about would I stop and relieve myself or would
I keep going?
Yeah,
or would you just keep walking while you're peeing your pants?
I don't know. I haven't. Usually when I pee my pants, I'm asleep, so I don't really have the option to choose.
Or passed out.
Yeah.
Well, people in cities that aren't used to things that we're used to here in New Orleans, because we're literally one of only two or maybe three places in the United States of America before coronavirus where you could drink alcohol walking down the street. There's literally only two or three places in the country you can do that, New Orleans being one of them. But because coronavirus, some cities are letting bars sell drinks and to-go cups like they do here to people so they can walk down the street. And then now they're peeing their pants.
See? If I owned a Port-a-John company right now, I'd be trying to make a bid. Like, dude, let me put some around some corners around your alleyways or something.
Well, people are peeing their pants in public in the wake of coronavirus because public and business bathrooms aren't reliably open or safe from viruses. That's the dumbest thing that I read all morning. And how in God's name did ESPN fall for that story and the rest of the media fall for that story, that NASCAR noose, that fake news? That's what it is. It's fake news. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. And I was in the process of putting up an incredible video on our website, bayou957.com, but then all of a sudden the wrong video went up there. So if you give me 2 minutes, and then you go to our website, you will see an incredible video. It's only a how long is this video? It's only a 40-second video. It's an incredible 30-second video. An incredible video of a man catching a shark with his bare hands. It's incredible that he pulls the shark's mouth open and everything. Give me 1 minute. I don't even need 2 minutes. I just the wrong video went up there. I'm putting that up there right now. Give me 1 minute and then go see that video. It's an incredible video on our website at bayou957.com. We're in our commercial-free ride right now. We're in it here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.